Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, my friend, or perhaps welcome. Maybe this is your first ever Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast episode. And if that's the case, I am so beyond happy and excited that you're here. Seriously, in a world where you could be listening to virtually anything and tuning into many, many experts, I am so honored and grateful that you are choosing to be here with me. And whether or not this is your first episode or your 100th, or maybe, oh gosh, I've never even thought of this before. Maybe you have listened to every single episode and this is your 250 something episode with me. Oh my God. If that's the case, would you send me a DM if you have listened to every single podcast episode that has been published on the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast? Send me a DM on Instagram at Nutrition with Nicole, because I want to give you a little something to express my gratitude. I seriously have never thought of that before, just someone having listened to every episode. And that I can't even begin to explain like how much that means to me. If that's you, send me a message. But more to the point, Happy New Year. I am currently hiding in my office. It is 6 p.m. at night on January 1st, 2024. And I asked my husband to hang out with our toddler for a while, unassisted, so that I could record this episode for you. Because I have been seeing a ton of content on other podcasts, on social media, talking about how to set the best goals and how to set goals that you're actually going to achieve this year. And I want that for you. I absolutely want that for you. But I may have a slightly different perspective on how to set goals for the new year, whether or not you call them resolutions, beside the point. Whether or not you're setting these goals because it's the first of a new year, a brand new month, a brand new week, a brand new year, or you're just feeling like something's got to change in your life and it's going to happen today, this week, this month, this year. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to share with you four things that you need to consider if you're trying to create goals or resolutions that work. And I am sharing this with you from my personal experience as someone who grew up setting New Year's resolutions every single year, and from over 10 plus years of coaching experience, helping women like you refine their goals. Usually they come to me and to my co-coach, Lauren, with goals already, but sometimes they're not specific enough. Sometimes they're not thought through all the way, and we help them to do that. But we have been helping women, I personally have been helping women for over 10 years, refine their goals, get really crystal clear, and then help those clients achieve them. Not only achieving them, but knowing then that they can sustain the results that they've created. So I guess you could say I have a little bit of experience with this. Like, goal setting and goal crushing is not new to me. So I want to share my lessons, my feedback, my expertise, if you will, although that sounds a little self-righteous. I want to share what I know with you so that you have the best possible chance of setting goals and action plans that are going to get you where you want to be. Maybe not this year, because sometimes things take longer than 365 days, but well on your way, if not
this year. But first, let me share a story with you. I grew up always writing New Year's resolutions with my family. In fact, I can't remember a year where we didn't do this. My mom is super organized. I think that's where I get it from. And every year she would put a 3x5 note card in our stockings. And on this note card, every New Year's Eve, we would pull it out of the bottom of our stocking and we would write the year at the top of this 3x5 note card. And we would list out our resolutions and we would keep that card in those stockings, which of course were put in storage for 12 months, 11 months. And then we would flip the card over and every New Year's Eve, we would read aloud to each other what our resolutions were, whether or not we reached them. And on the flip side, we would create new New Year's resolutions. And it was an overwhelmingly positive tradition in my life. I don't do that anymore. And I'll explain to you why that is. However, I learned a lot from that experience. The first thing that you absolutely need in order to create goals or resolutions that work is you have to set action goals, not just outcome goals. So you can set outcome goals, but you then must follow them up with action goals. And here's what I mean by that. Every year, when my family and I would create resolutions, they were almost always outcome-focused goals. For example, I can vividly remember one of my parents saying, "I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year." I remember my dad always having a business goal as an entrepreneur, and he would say something to the extent of how much he wanted to make in business or how many new clients he wanted to acquire. It was something business related, but always outcome focused. I always had this on my resolutions for year after year after year. I want to be an author. I want to write a book. That one has yet to happen, but outcome focused, right? Here's what I want to achieve. This is the outcome I want to create. Always outcome focused. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong or bad about outcome goals. It's cool to say, here's what I want to achieve. But just like I tell my coaching clients, you can write that down on a piece of paper and you can hope and wish and dream and pray if you're a praying person, and nothing's going to change unless you do something about it, unless you change your behavior, how you're showing up in your life, what you're doing to support the weight loss you want to achieve, what you're doing to change the business growth that you want to see over the next year. And so where we went wrong as a family is we never created action goals. Let's take weight loss as the example. If you have a goal this year of wanting to lose weight, be it 10, 50, 100 pounds, doesn't matter. That's cool. I want you then to maybe bullet point underneath that outcome goal what actions you feel like you need to take in order to get there. And these actions would then be goals in and of themselves. So perhaps right now, your breakfast consists of a Starbucks latte and maybe a granola bar or a croissant on your way to work every morning. And you know that that's probably not super supportive of your weight loss goal. So your action goal would be to create a breakfast at home that's a little bit more well-balanced and perhaps has some protein. Maybe you currently don't really eat vegetables unless you're forced to, right? Or unless it happens to find its way on your plate, but you know that you could stand to eat more vegetables. How many servings of vegetables are you going to aim for a day? And how are you going to incorporate those into your life? Are you going to prep them in advance of the week? Are you going to stock up on some freezer vegetables that you can just throw in the microwave and steam up really quickly? What actions are you going to take in order to create that weight loss? If that is a goal of yours, you probably have some nutrition-specific actions that you want to change. And perhaps you also have some physical activity action steps. Things like, I want to work on getting more steps throughout my day, figuring out what that step goal would be. I want to get a gym membership and work on going to the gym a couple of times every week. Maybe even some self-care action steps. Maybe right now your sleep looks like shit. So you know that you want to set a bedtime target and work on that. Can you see the difference between outcome and action goals? Actions are very tangible things that we can actually do and measure. We have control over those action goals. I get to choose whether tonight at dinner I'm going to eat a vegetable or I'm going to have protein on my plate, but I can't choose whether the scale is going to show weight loss tomorrow. That is an outcome that these actions are encouraging, they're supporting. So instead of simply focusing on the end result, which we get caught up in doing all the time, it's totally normal. There's nothing wrong with thinking about the end result because that's what's motivating us. But then follow it up with action goals if you want to be successful this year. The second thing that you need if you want to set goals and resolutions that actually work is to focus on less, not more. This is going to break your heart a little bit. Because as an achiever, like I personally love achieving. I grew up really being conditioned to seek out approval and praise. And I discovered very early on that the best way or the easiest way for me to do that was to achieve, whether that was straight A's or summa cum laude, or whether that was to be on the honor roll or to be captain of the soccer team, like whatever. I am an achiever. So I want to do more, as much as I possibly can, so that you look at me and think I'm great. Now, I've done a lot of work on that. I no longer seek validation from external sources, but I understand what it is like to want to do all of the things right away in order to create a new or a better or a higher version of yourself. I get that desire. And I want to encourage you to rein that desire in because it's shooting you in the foot. We must focus on less, not more. And here's why. There is a book called The Power of Less by Leo Babota. I might be mispronouncing his last name. This is a book I read years and years ago, but it has stuck with me because in that book, they talk about how research shows that if we try to do one behavior change at a time, we're trying to change one single behavior, we have an 80%+ chance of succeeding at that. That's pretty damn good. 80%+ chance of actually changing that behavior that I'm setting out to change. However, the second I tried to add another behavior change simultaneously, so now I'm trying to do two behavior changes at once, my percentage of success drops to 35%. That's disgusting. Do you want to hear something even grosser? Grosser, more gross, whatever. If I'm trying to change three behaviors at a time, my chance of success plummets to less than 5%. These numbers are ingrained in my brain because it was such an eye-opening moment for me. We think, oh, more. And part of that is the culture that we live in, but less is more. Limiting yourself to fewer focuses or to fewer goals will actually help you to achieve more. You will get a bigger result, a bigger outcome when you limit yourself to fewer goals. And this is a classic example of why conventional dieting, crash dieting, doesn't work in the long run. Think about any conventional diet that you've tried, be it Optavia, Weight Watchers, Whole30, keto, carnivore, low carb, low fat, intermittent fat, whatever it is. Usually these diets come with a laundry list of rules and or changes that you're expected to make immediately, day one, 75 hard, for example. That one just popped into my brain. Perfect example. Oh, hey, I want you to eat only whole foods. Okay, whoa, that's a major overhaul on most people's diets. I want you to only eat whole foods. I want you to also work out twice a day, as if once a day wasn't enough. What the hell? I want you to start drinking a shit ton of water. By the way, you should also be reading a little bit of a book every day. Like, I forget how many pages they're asking you to read, but I also want you to X, Y, and Z, right? Cut out sugar, start tracking your calories, start logging these points, start going to bed at X time and get X hours of sleep. You have to do 7+ things in order to comply with the conventional diet. Most of the time, this is the case, right? So you start out feeling like a badass because day one, you're doing all the things. And that's affirming, right? Like, you literally are a badass for doing all those things. However, it has a very quick expiration date because nobody can sustain all of those things for a long period of time. It's why Whole 30 is called Whole 30 and why 75 hard is called 75 hard, because people can't do that for a long period of time. And I get sometimes it's just meant to be a short-term challenge, and that's fine. But if you're looking at creating results that are going to last through the year and into many, many, many future years to come, conventional dieting, crash dieting, having a laundry list of rules is not going to work. You've seen it in your life time and time again. I've seen it in my own life and in the lives of my clients a million times over again. And this is part of the reason why. Those diets give you more to focus on than what we can realistically focus on and do consistently for any amount of time. I've shared this on the show before, but I'll reiterate it again because I think it's worth saying. When my team and I work with our coaching clients, we give them one action step to focus on their very first coaching call. One. And over time, that may compound to focusing on two action steps simultaneously because they've started to create some mastery with the first, but they're not quite at habitual automatic level with that action step. So we say, okay, I want you to keep doing this, maintain this while we add a second action step, but we only ever give them one or two things to focus on. And do you know what they say on that first call? That's it. This is all you want me to do. And we say, yes, I want you to do just this. And if you do just this, I don't care if you're eating pizza and ice cream for every other meal of every other day, but if you're just doing this one thing, and of course that's individualized to them and their body and their goal and where they're starting and where they want to end up, you succeed. And the next time we check in together, we'll decide if we need to tweak this one action step or if we're ready to build on top of it. That's why individualized coaching is far more effective than conventional dieting. Because we focus on less and we end up helping our clients to achieve more. The third thing that you absolutely need to factor into your goal setting and your resolution setting, if you want them to work, is addition instead of subtraction. I'll throw in another little story here for you. I grew up setting resolutions. I also grew up doing Lent every year. And so every year during Lent, we would think about something we wanted to eliminate or get rid of for a period of time. Most of the time that was sugar. And this is just kind of how the expectation began. What am I going to reduce? What am I going to eliminate? What am I going to remove? In fact, I remember one year I thought I was eating too much peanut butter. This is in my disordered eating days. And of course, peanut butter is a healthy fat, wonderful for you, but it's also caloric, right? It's very energy dense. We want to be mindful of how much we're consuming of everything, but especially of fats. And so I gave up peanut butter for Lent, and I barely could do it because I loved peanut butter that much. But the moral of the story is it was always subtract, remove, eliminate. And because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life not eating peanut butter, I didn't want to spend the rest of my life not eating sugar, it didn't really achieve the point, right? After Lent was over, I just reintroduce it all. And typically I would go gangbusters because I hadn't had it for so long. So I would overeat it when I reintroduced it. And then I felt super shitty. The year that I realized I could add something positive to my life during Lent instead of removing something perceived as negative, game changer. This was so mind-boggling to me that I dove super deep into the nutrition by addition principle. And that's why Nutrition Coaching with Nicole today is founded on a nutrition by addition philosophy. One, it works. Two, it feels so much better. Seriously, sit there, whether you're driving or maybe you're standing there, you're walking your dog, you're on the treadmill. I don't know where you are. It doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm getting so deep into that. I want you to take a second to think about what feels better for you. This month, January, I want you to think about something that you maybe have identified you are doing too much or you're eating too much, right? In air quotes. I want you to think about removing that from your life. How does that feel? Hard, probably difficult, challenging. Maybe there's some positives to it, but like, oh, it's uncomfortable, right? Taking something away completely and having no plan to slowly titrate off of that behavior or to reduce it even rather than eliminate entirely. Now I want you to think about not removing or eliminating that from your life, but simply adding something that you want to do more of or to eat more of in. Maybe you realize you want to move your body a little bit more. Maybe you realize you want to eat a little bit more fiber in your day, or you want to drink more water. How does it feel to add that behavior for the month? Not focusing on removing anything. Ooh, I don't know about you, but that's a little fun. That feels like a fun challenge. And there's a little excitement there. And yeah, it might be challenging and like difficult at times, but it doesn't feel as scary. It doesn't feel as much like punishment as removing or restricting something does. And if that's true for you too, let me encourage an addition versus subtraction focus on your goals. Now, you might be saying, okay, Nicole, that's great, but I still want to reduce the frequency with which I'm eating this thing or I'm doing this thing. How does adding more actually help? And let me tell you, I totally get that question. It helps more than you could possibly know. So let's take the nutrition by addition principle. If someone comes to me and says, Nicole, I'm completely addicted to sugar. I eat sugar all the time. I mostly eat out or I eat processed packaged foods. Like, I know my diet needs an overhaul. And they're expecting me to tell them that they can't have those things anymore, or they have to cut them out and stop eating the things that they enjoy that are bringing ease and convenience to their life. But I say, okay, I hear you. And for sure, there's going to be some benefit to maybe reducing the frequency with which we eat those things. I want you to focus on instead adding what we see by conducting a food audit together you're not getting enough of. So it looks to me like you are starting your day with a latte and a croissant, and then you're having a small salad at work perhaps, but usually you're running out, you know, between business meetings and getting some fast food quick, going through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Then you come home and you're tired and you want to spend a little time with your kids. So dinner is maybe like frozen pizza or maybe just something that you can pop in the oven really quickly, chicken nuggets, french fries, that type of thing. And then at night, you kind of go gangbusters with the nighttime snacking because you're so hungry, right? I want you to focus on eating a breakfast that contains a protein and maybe a fat source and a carbohydrate. And we would come up with what that breakfast would be based on that individual's palate and their preferences. But I want you to focus on eating breakfast. And I want that breakfast to be pretty robust, right? Maybe we would say 500 calories if that person was calorie aware. they might look at me and say, Nicole, did you even hear what I was saying? Like, I want to reduce these things. You're just telling me to eat more. I don't get it. How is that going to help me to reach my body composition goals? How is it going to help me to reach my health goals? If we add more of what is desirable, of what our body needs, there is less room for other things, right? Think about a stomach cavity. If I'm adding an appropriate amount of protein and fiber and fat and carbohydrate, do you know what I'm going to want less of? The processed, packaged, fast food, convenience-based snacks. Because now there's not as much room and I'm more satisfied. I'm more satiated. So I don't need those things based off of my cravings because now my appetite is regulated. I'm satisfied. So we're achieving the same thing. You want to restrict and eliminate, and cut and reduce, which feels super shitty mentally. I'm saying, hey, what if we try adding and see what happens as a result? Almost always, we end up reducing or modifying our consumption of those things that we didn't really feel great eating in the first place because now we're better nourished. And if we think about the psychology behind nutrition by addition, it makes sense. So there's something called positive framing, which basically means when we incorporate something beneficial or positive into our life, it creates this sense of achievement and satisfaction. Like, ha, I just worked out today. I feel like I'm on top of the moon, on top of the world, on top of the moon. Why am I? Anyway, I feel like I'm on top of the world. That's awesome. Then you want to go and do more positive things throughout the day, right? That feels so much better than you sitting there and saying, wow, look at me. I said no to that cookie. Isn't that awesome? Wow, can't have that cookie. This feels great. Positive framing makes sense. Also, an abundance versus scarcity mindset. So instead of feeling deprived because you told yourself you can't have the cookie because you're eliminating sugar, you're gaining something positive, which is way more motivating and way more sustainable. And last but not least, there's a sense of autonomy that comes with this. So adding healthy habits allows you to feel more in control and more empowered. You're choosing to do something, right? I'm choosing to say yes to this balanced breakfast so that I feel better throughout the day and I maybe snack less tonight, as opposed to you feeling like you have to do something or you can't eat that particular food. Fourth and final thing that you need to consider when creating your goals and resolutions, if you want them to work this year, is consistency before complexity. This is something I also say to my clients a lot. Too many of us try to progress in complexity before we have the foundational tools and skills we need to maintain that level of complexity. Jared Hamilton is a fellow coach and a podcaster, and he often uses this analogy. Let's say you were building your dream house. You had everything picked out. It was going to be so gorgeous. I just imagine like floor to ceiling windows, a light, bright kitchen. It is just going to be everything that you want it to be. And your family is going to live so comfortably in this dream house. And the builders come to you and they say, hey, this is going to take a long time because we want to make sure that we build you a super, super solid foundation. You're building a gorgeous house. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is laid correctly, not a nail is missed. We just really, really want to be meticulous about this. Make sure that you have the strongest possible foundation. Would you ever go to them and say, don't worry about that. I just want this to happen quickly. So don't worry about the foundation, like just skip steps, right? Here's the timeline that I need for this to happen in. I don't really care about the foundation. You would never. I would never, right? Because you want this dream house to last for the rest of your life. You're going to die in this house. You want it to be so freaking sturdy and sound and safe for you and your loved ones. The same should be true for your relationship with food. Instead of trying to build up in complexity, adding 7 things, 15 things that you're trying to do at once to accomplish this grandiose goal in 30 days, 75 days, 6 weeks, whatever it is, you need to focus on laying a solid foundation, on doing something consistently, more frequently than you are currently doing it, before you start adding steps, before you start building up. Because otherwise, it's going to be like a house built on sand, and it's going to come crumbling down at the first sign of a storm, whether that's a sick kid, or it's a work emergency, or God forbid, you know, an aging parent has an unexpected health complication. Those things happen, and they're going to happen. You want to make sure that you have the strongest foundation possible to withstand any storm moving forward. And that means, yeah, you can't build up as quickly because you're focused on building out. Consistency first. An example of this might be trying to do Whole 30 again, or trying 75 Hard again, or subscribing to Weight Watchers. Maybe you never unsubscribed, recommitting to Weight Watchers, recommitting to MyFitnessPal again, and going super hard, being super strict and aggressive for 30 days without actually slowing down to address the fact that you can calorie count for 30 days. You can count points for longer than that, but you have never addressed the issue that is your emotional eating. You eat every time your kids go to bed because finally you have some time to yourself and it's the only pleasure you have in your life. Or perhaps you don't even know what true hunger feels like anymore. You eat when you feel like you're supposed to eat or when everybody else is eating, but do you eat when you're hungry? Do you stop when you're satisfied? Like maybe that's a skill you don't have, and that's fine. But I urge you to take the time required to build those skills that you know are at the foundation of your relationship with food and the body composition that isn't serving you right now, before you build up in complexity. In summary, there are 4 things that will make or break your goals and resolutions this year. And if you want to set goals that work, meaning you have 80+% you have an 80+% chance of achieving these goals and feeling like you are best, highest version self this time next year, you need these 4 things. You need action goals in addition to your outcome goals. You need to embrace the idea that less is more. You need to focus on addition rather than subtraction, and you need to commit to consistency before complexity. If you have these 4 things worked into your goals and resolutions, you're going to be successful. If you have no idea where to start, might I suggest something simple? Also, something that feels very realistic. I love the shoot for the stars mentality, and you'll land, you know, somewhere. Shoot for the moon, is that what it is? And you'll land somewhere among the stars. I'm getting all of my expressions mixed up today. It's late. It's almost bedtime. This baby grandma needs to go to sleep. Anyway, I want to suggest something simple, something realistic that also is inspiring, right? It can feel like a stretch to you, but it also needs to be something that you can see yourself doing. A few examples of goals and resolutions that my clients have set: committing to eating breakfast with protein every morning. This is a great one for people who feel like they struggle with nighttime snacking. That might sound silly. How does eating breakfast with protein help nighttime snacking? It does a hell of a lot because you're more satiated. You're giving your body what it needs first thing in the morning, and then you're not in the red all day, hitting up the ice cream container late at night after everybody goes to bed. Committing to eat breakfast, that's it, with protein. Focus on that. If you crush that for the next couple weeks, you can add something else. Weekly menu planning. And by menu planning, I don't mean meal prepping. I know that's not for everyone, but I can't tell you the overwhelm and the stress that my clients save simply by thinking proactively about the next week and the meals that they and their families are going to eat. When are you eating out? When are you eating at home? How much time do you have for those meals at home? Is it like a between soccer practice and piano lesson thing that needs to be super quick and easy? Or do you have a little bit more time? What meals are you going to make? Is it a crock pot meal or is it something that you can make in real time? Simply planning this out takes so much stress out of your week. And because you're being proactive about it, you're probably going to plan for healthier, more balanced meals as opposed to just grabbing whatever is the most convenient. Third, quick, easy, simple, effective goal, add an extra serving of vegetables to your day. Or if you like logging and you already are logging, aim for 25 grams of fiber or more a day. Personally, I have a goal of eating a big ass salad or a veggie heavy dish once a day because this just helps me to get my vegetable and my fiber consumption in, and I love it. If I don't have a big ass salad, and if you don't know how to make a good salad, hit me up. I have a post on this. I think people hate salad because they don't know how to make them, but I love a good salad. If I'm not into like a cold salad thing, that's fine. A veggie heavy dish is fine, whether it's a stir fry or I'm using zucchini noodles or I'm going to throw cauliflower rice into my dish or I'm having a soup that's just like packed with veggies. Some veggie heavy dish at least once a day. Four, carve out 20 minutes or more to walk every day. You might be thinking, but I want to crush the gym 5 times a week. That's awesome. We can work up to that. But do you walk for 20 minutes or more every day? Or are you sitting at a desk? Next, set a screen time boundary at bedtime. This is a personal game changer for me. I do this on my social media apps. So at a certain time each night, all of my social media apps, Instagram, my email, Facebook, all that, they go gray. And I get a little notification that pops up on my phone that says, hey, you promised yourself you were going to be off this app at this time. Are you committed to that? Or do you want another 15 minutes? And I can choose 15 minutes or I can hit forget for the day. It is a great reminder for me to be like, that's right. I already promised myself I wasn't going to be scrolling at this time. Let me get ready for bed. Game changer. You might think that doesn't sound like a heck of a lot. Let me tell you, everything in your life gets better when you are sleeping well and consistently. Next, complete a food audit. You may be just jumping into the next popular diet without knowing what your strengths are and where maybe your areas of improvement lie. This is something we do with every single coaching client on their onboarding call, the very first call that we have outside of their free discovery call. And it's so eye-opening because clients are able to see, wow, I didn't know I was doing so well in that area. I don't think I gave myself credit for that. And or, oh, yeah, that's definitely something that I can improve. I can see now how that might impact my body composition or my health status or how I've been feeling in my body. A food audit is a great snapshot of what's going on. And if you don't know what's currently going on, how do you know what next step to take? Another goal that some of my clients have set that has been super helpful is having a glass of water before all other beverages. Water before coffee, water before tea, water before Diet Coke, water before that Starbucks frap, like whatever it is. If you're going to drink it and it's not water, give your body water first. This is a perfect example of one, it will help you to drink more water, which most of us can stand to do. But two, it's probably going to decrease the other non-water beverages you consume throughout the day because you realize, oof, I just needed some water, not that seventh cup of coffee. I share these with you just to give you an example of how simple and specific your goals can be to start while having big, big results. If you have tried doing this yourself and you feel like you need some support, you need some help. If you are currently thinking about subscribing to another conventional diet, whether it's Whole30 again or 75 hard or whatever it may be. But now that you're hearing this, you're starting to reconsider. First and foremost, that's okay. I am here to help you. My team and I are here to help you. I have been where you are, setting that lose 10 pounds, lose 20 pounds, exercise more goals each and every year. And I also can vividly recall how it feels to year after year pull out that 3x5 index card and see that I hadn't achieved what I said I was going to achieve, and rewriting it every year after year. Not changing anything about my approach, but hoping for a different result. I know how that feels. And so if you're in a position where you want a different result and you want to not only create goals and resolutions that actually work, but have help and guidance and support and a cheerleader every step of the way, I encourage you to fill out a coaching application. When you fill out a coaching application, it comes directly to my email inbox and I send you a message back saying, hey, let's hop on a discovery call. Let's see if we're a great fit. Commitment free, cost free. We chat a little bit about you, where you're at, where you're coming from, what you want to achieve, and whether or not we'd be a great fit. If you're curious, fill out a coaching application, because this year has the potential to be completely different in the best possible way. Happy 2024, my friends. I am so excited to be on this journey with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.